Baby, wave your hands back there. She's under the white dome back there. The best part of the ministry, that's Pam. She's got a half a dozen different books that we've written, or that we and my daughter have written. And she's not the daughter that goes to church here. That's Brittany. Brittany, where are you? Oh, there you are, back there. Okay. Want to kind of stay out of the limelight, huh? So Brittany and Kyle go to church here, and they were our inroad into meeting your pastor and your pastor and wife. What a blessing they truly are, and I know you value them very much. Pastor, thank you. Where did you go? Oh, there they are. Thank you so much for allowing us to come. It's truly an honor to be here. And thank you to all of you that we've got almost enough graduate classmates here today that we could have a 1977 Big Sandy High School reunion afterwards. You know, you got to reach back, you know, if you're going to Big Sandy. I tell people all the time I was in the top 25 of my graduating class. Of course, I don't tell them there were 28 in the class, but I'm sure I made the top 25. I think I beat a couple of guys. But Pam and I have been doing this. I've been doing it all my life, ever since I was 16. That's what I've done my entire life. I've been preaching the gospel somewhere. And for many years, we lived in South Dakota, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. But from there, God called us to Latin America, and we started this ministry called Latin American Ministry, which really has nothing to do with horses. They don't really mesh, except for the fact that both of them are passions for me. And so, you know, you find a way to put the stuff you love together. And so we did that, we're sharing the gospel around the country using horses, and you know, it really is a Sermon on the Mount. Pause for laughter. Pause for effect. You know, they call that the pregnant pause. The truth is, the Lord has allowed me to do a lot of stuff with horses over the years, and it's truly a blessing. Before I forget it, I want to thank Doug Garber, who's still running around connecting cables. He's Boo Buddy Productions. He came here to document this with video, and he's still stringing out wires. I hope he gets it done. He's got others involved, and so surely he'll get something done before the end. But more important than video or anything else we do today, it's capturing the moment that we have with God together. I've never done one of these where I felt like the crowd was more ready to receive than I do this one today. This worship team set the atmosphere. And I feel like there's an open heaven over this place right now to share God's word and touch his people. So, stop by the book table. Buy all the books that you can, all that you can carry, and then we'll get somebody to help you if you get more than you can carry. When you buy a book here, it helps us give away books in Latin America and other places that we go to people in need. We work all through Latin America, from Mexico south to Costa Rica. We've got a lot of things going on that if you want more information, please stop by the book table. We'll get you fixed up with all the information that you can carry. If you're writing a check to this ministry, you write it to Latin American Ministry, it's fully tax deductible. And Pam at the book table takes paper, she takes plastic, she takes coins, she takes fine jewelry. She takes almost everything except an IOU. And I see that there's meat on the grill, because I can see the smoke, and I don't want to be the one that's holding us up from dinner. But if you'll give me a little bit of time, I want to share some stuff with you that I believe will impact your life, and hopefully in a positive way. So how many of you have been to a fit to be tied before? Can I see your hand? I see my grandson, my wife, a couple of friends. So the rest of you, you know, you hear the saying, well, I'm just fit to be tied. Now, people from the north don't always get that. Us southerners, we've got our own language, and You know, sometimes the northern people don't understand some of the stuff we say. Fit to be tied, that came from it's a southern idiom that literally means I'm too angry to not be tied down. Somebody's going to have to tie me down. I'm so angry, you need to hold me back. It actually came from an insane asylum where they put people in straitjackets. That's where it originated. So knowing that, how many of you have ever said, I'm just fit to be tied? Some of you might have said it on the way to church today. When somebody pulled out in front of you or they cut you off at the red light. You know, they step in front of you in the checkout line or you fill in the blank. You know, well, I was fit to be tied. I want to tell you this morning that I'm going to challenge that statement today because I believe there's another kind of fit to be tied. So I've been for as long back as I could. Somebody said, have you been riding horses all your life? And I'll tell them, well, no, I didn't get started until I was two. So I missed a couple of years there. Mom and Daddy got pictures of me at 2 years old on a pony. So I have been riding since two. And then I have to tell them not yet because I'm not done living yet. So I'm still riding. The idea is that from as far back as I can remember, I don't remember a birthday. You know how you wish, you know, you blow the candles out, you wish and you make a secret wish. Nobody gets to know it. If you tell anybody, it won't come true. You know that, right? So as far back as I can remember, my wish was I want a horse. I mean, that's all I've ever wanted. Even after I had horses, I want more horses. And unfortunately, I've got more than I want right now, but that's another story. See me later if you need to buy a horse. So there's three rules that a cowboy lives by. And I want to share them with you. Rule number one, don't touch my hat. That's sacred. Don't touch my hat. Rule number two, don't touch my horse. Rule number three, don't touch my wife. And in that order. Everybody with me so far? So when we moved to South Dakota, the first time in 1984 and the second time in 1988, we stayed a year and a half, we left for 3 years, and then in 1988 we went back. And I started this horse breaking business and the cowboy, and I used to work on ranches and you know, to be a cowboy in the Dakotas, it's a noble profession, but it don't pay anything. You spend all this money getting ready, getting geared up. And by geared up, I mean, you know, you got to buy your horse, you pay the feed bill, you got a horseshoeing bill. Ricky Nance knows about that. He's here. In fact, he does our fair work. I found out he would do it cheaper than I would get under him. I could do it myself, but it's just better to pay him. He just does a better job. Where are you, Ricky? See me afterwards. I got a check for you. So cowboys, the only people I know that make less than cowboys are preachers. And so what I did was I cowboyed full time and started a church to supplement my income. I'm waiting on the. So we pastored a church full time. I day worked, cowboyed full time, and broke part of my day working was breaking horses. So I spent years and years breaking horses. Somebody asked me this morning, how many horses have you broke? And, you know, I have no idea, hundreds of them. I have no idea. Some of them are only bent. I didn't really break them. They're just bent. But nonetheless, we started them. And so in this cowboy life, you get in this culture and this mindset. And then one day you come across a scripture that you've heard and read 1,000 times, but all of a sudden it means something different than it ever meant before. And I want to share that scripture with you. It's found in Luke chapter 19, verse 29. We just recently celebrated Easter, and the week before that, the Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And I understand, please, nobody has to come afterwards and tell me that it wasn't a horse colt that Jesus rode. I get that, but a colt is a colt is a colt. It doesn't matter if it's a donkey colt, a horse colt, a mule colt. They're all the same when it comes to teaching them to lead. So there's a scripture in Luke 19. If you've got your Bibles, you'd like to turn there with me. Otherwise, make note. Luke 19, verse 29, the Bible says, and it happened As he drew near Bethphage and Bethany toward the mount called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village across from you, and having entered, you will find a colt tied up on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying the colt?' you will say this to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' And going, those who were sent found as he said to them, and as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying this colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.'" I want you to touch somebody and say, "The Lord has need of you." I'd like you to meet Patty. Patty's a 3-year-old quarter mare. She's been started. And just to make sure that everybody understands, I'm not starting a wild horse here today. Okay? I could do that, but I'm not in the mood to get bucked off in front of people. So Patty is 3 years old. She comes from Wyoming. She grew up in the western slopes of the Bighorn Mountains. She grew up with her mother getting chased by grizzly bears and mountain lions. So she's pretty sure-footed. She knows where she's putting her feet, and she's careful about where she's going. When I first got her, she was wild as a March hare. I mean, this mare didn't want anything to do with anybody. And over time, she's become more personable with us, but she's still not like your best friend. She's strictly business. But Patty is a typical horse. So I want to tell you something today. When I get a colt in that's never been touched, now understand something. When you're getting a horse in South Dakota, they're not coming out of a 20-acre tract of grass. These horses are coming off of big pastures. They don't measure ranches in South Dakota by acres. They measure them by miles. Or by sections. Where this mare comes out of, she's out of an enormous area of country. When you get one of those horses in to break, the first thing you have to do is learn to communicate with them. So for those of you that don't understand horses and ideas, let me just give you some little horse facts. So notice where her eyes are. Can somebody tell me where her eyes are? Talk to me. Are they in front of her eyes or on the side of her head? Okay, that's a prey animal. There's lots of them. So deer are prey animals, cows, horses, you know, all the like the gazelles and deer, those African animals, they've been preyed upon. So their eyes are set on the side of their head. And here's the trick about that. They see this way. So imagine if your eyes were on the side of your head and you were looking, and instead of 180 degrees this way, which is the way you see as a predator, your eyes are in front, which is where predator eyes, like a dog or a wolf or a lion, they're in the front, and you have this 180 degree field of vision. And so stick your hands out there. You can see them move. See your fingers move? Even though you're not turning your head, but you can still see those fingers moving. That's called your peripheral vision. Okay, now imagine this. Here's what a prey animal. This horse is a prey animal. Her eyes are on the side of her head, so that 180 degrees is going out each side. So it crosses the point of her nose, and she has it on both sides, so she can see me when I'm at her tail, because she's seeing 180 degrees down her side, each side. So a horse has 355 degrees of visual. They can see you. If you can see the curve of their eyeball, they can see you. It's amazing. So in order to talk to her, how many of you know that if I don't speak your language, it don't matter how good a thing I'm going to tell you, you don't get it. Por ejemplo, Yo trabajo en México y muchos otros países. Yo hablo mucho en español, yo predico en español, yo tengo muchos amigos que son mexicanos, son guatemaltecos, son costarriqueños. Y todos ellos hablan español y ellos entienden lo que estoy diciendo, pero ustedes no me entienden porque no hablan español. Did y'all get that? Okay, so what value is that? Is there no value, right? Okay, so then it doesn't matter whether I'm speaking English or Spanish, she don't understand it unless I speak horse. Are you tracking with me? And how many of you know that our relationship with God was such that He had to become man so that we could understand what He's got to tell us? Jesus humbled Himself and became a man. He died on the cross so that He could communicate with mankind, because it just wasn't working the other way. The Bible says He made man. He said, let us make man in our image. And how'd that work out? So then He says, let us make us in man's image. And He became Christ. How did that work out? So the idea now is to teach this horse in her language the things I want to say to her. So horses have this, they have this unspoken language. And here's the rules. Whoever moves the feet rules the pen. Say that with me. Whoever rules or moves the feet rules the pen. Okay, so if you put two horses in here, one of them is going to make the other one move. Always. Always. If you put 10 horses in here, one of them is going to make everybody move. And there's going to be a pecking order. But somebody's going to be in charge. Horses have no ego. They hold no grudge. They're looking for a leader. Now, how many of you know I'm not here to teach you how to break a horse? That's really not what we're doing today. I want to teach you something about your relationship with Jesus and how He wants to communicate with you and how He wants you to follow Him. Jesus walked by some fishermen on the shore and He said, follow me. He walked by a tax collector's table and He said, hey, follow me. He's walked into your life and He said, hey, follow me. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Are you fit to be tied? I'm going to have to question that one. I don't know. If I'm going to teach a cult to lead, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get his attention. I'm going to speak his language. And then I'm going to tie him up. Because the only way you can teach a cult to lead is to tie them up. If you don't tie them up, then they don't learn to respect the rope. When the Bible says you will find a colt tied, the rope looked like this, not like this. When I was breaking colts for a living, I would tie them up. I'd have colts tied all over the church. I mean, the barnyard. All of them at different stages, you understand. Leadership comes in stages. But the first step to teaching a horse to be led is to tie them up. I want to tell you something. God will tie you to something you don't want and where you don't want to be so that He can teach you to go to what He wants to give you. Otherwise, if you don't learn not to fight the rope, you'll never go where He wants to take you. So here's the language a horse speaks. Okay, so who's moving the feet? She speaks this language, and she understands. I'm in control of this round pen. Now, there's something about that colt that's looking. She's looking at me with that inside eye. Now, we talked about that eye set. So how many eyes do I have right now? How many eyes of hers do I have? I can only see one eye. But see, this horse has the ability to look out both sides of her head. And so she can see what I'm doing, but she can also see where she wants to go. Somebody didn't get that. You see, we do this thing with God. We get one eye on Him and one eye out there. And we don't understand why God won't take us and do for us and bless us and use us. When I come into this pen, I only have half her attention if I only have one eye. So what I'm looking for is two eyes. When she gives me two eyes, then I know she's listening to me. Whoa. Now I've got two eyes. When I see two eyes, now she's looking at me now. When she's just got one eye on me, I know she's only paying half attention to me. I wonder, is there anybody out there that's just got one eye on God? And you wonder why he won't use you? She understands the language. You see how quickly she moves? Whoa. You see what happened when I took a step back? She looked at me. Now, why didn't she run away from me then? She was running away from me before. The reason is because she speaks the language, so she knows the difference between a push and a pull, a tug. She knows when to follow, and she knows when to stop, because she's fit to be tied. I wonder how many listening to my voice today get the picture of what it means to be fit to be tied. And we'll come back to this in a minute, but I want to show you something. Watch your head. Watch your nose. Take my yoke upon you. It's not heavy, it's light. But there is a yoke. Isn't that what he said? Did you see her hunting for that nose, man? Because she wants a place to put her nose. Because she knows, and I know, where the nose goes. It's like the old saying, if the camel gets his nose under the tent, he'll get his whole body in there. So this mare is fit to be tied. I can tie her up and leave her and expect her to be there. But when I was teaching her to be led, I tied her up, and I'm looking for this right here. See the slack in the rope? That's where it's got to be. That's when I know she's ready. When I see the rope go from this, when she's sitting back and sucking back and pulling hard, there's no need of bothering her. Let her deal with it. Let her get some sore spots right here behind her ears. Let her rub a little bit of the hair off underneath her chin. Let her nose start bothering a little bit where that nose band is cutting across the front of her. And pretty soon she'll get sensitive enough and she'll stop making herself hurt. Boy, it'd be good if we could learn that, wouldn't it? If I could just quit hurting myself. Then I know that I can walk out to her and ask her to come with me. And okay, so she'll come with me. Her job is to go where I go. So I'm teaching this mare, when she's just coming to me, she's having to learn to be led. You don't start with riding. I don't know why we want the keys to the car before we've even learned how to open the door. We want God to take us to great heights and do amazing things for Him. And God wants to use you for things that you've never even imagined would happen. Bigger things than you can think of. But before He can do that, He's got to tie you somewhere and teach you to follow Him. So it's one thing for this mare to come with me when I go this way. That doesn't mean she's learned how to follow. But I want to show you something. A properly broke horse understands this is my space. Do not violate my space. And I want to tell you something. We serve a holy God who is our friend. Indeed, we are friends. Jesus said, I call you no more servant, but friend. But I want you to understand something. He's still God. And there still has to be this space where he says, I want to be free to move any way I want to without your resistance. So it's one thing when I turn left and she follows me, but here's where I find out, is she mine? When I move into her space, she has to move out of my way. How many of you could relate to the fact that you might have got in God's way a couple of times? Amen. You see this space? You see her careful not to violate my space? That's because she's fit to be tied. So I'm going to go forward. She better come with me. But what about when I stop and I go backwards? I'm not pulling on that rope. She's moving with me, and that's the way you should be moving with God. There's going to be times when God's going to stop and say, whoa, back up here. You might need to say, I'm sorry. You might need to say, I'm wrong. I didn't mean to do that. I was wrong about that. Have you ever been driving down the road and you see this intersection and these cars coming and you know you've got the right of way and they got a stop sign, but they're coming and you're like, whoa, are they going to stop or not? Boy, it's going to be a heck of a wreck if they don't. And they get their nose right out in your lane. I've wondered that sometimes about people. They get their nose, they get their bumper out in my lane. Am I talking to anybody? How many know I'm not talking about breaking a horse right now? So this mare, she understands my space, her space. Look at her. She understands this. When are we going to get it? When are we going to understand that God expects us to respect His moving? It don't matter if you're sitting outside in the out behind the church or if you're inside in the sanctuary. God wants to move. He wants to move in your life at Walmart, and He wants to move in your life at school. He wants you to let Him move wherever you are, and if He steps up to your space, you need to give Him room to move. Because your job is to follow. This horse is looking for a leader. She's looking for somebody that will just take charge and lead her where she needs to go. Remember, I said she doesn't have an ego. You think she's mad at me because I chased her around the round pen? She's not upset, is she? She doesn't seem to be. I can chase her around for the rest of the day. But the minute I stop, she's going to be like, okay, what do you want next, Jim? What do you want to do? I want to show you something here. If I can get the wind to cooperate with me. This is important because somebody's here right now. Somebody is in the dark in your life. And you're wondering, well, where does this apply in my life? How does this apply to me? Well, when you can't see, and you can't, you don't know where you're going, you're still required to follow the tug. Now, she can't see me moving off, but she feels that tug. And she said, okay, I don't know where we're going, but I trust the man that's holding my rope. And I want to tell you something. Listen closely to this. You're going to spend half your life in the dark. Half of your Christian experience, you're not going to know where you're going. That's why there's 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of night in every day. Because it gets dark in everybody's life. Boy, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. Somebody's passing through a nighttime right now. Can I tell you, He's still got your rope? Even if it's dark right now, even if you can't see, Patty can't see what we're doing. She can still hear and she can feel, but she can't see. But she's trying to follow. Look at her. She's coming. She said, that's a sign. That's a relaxation sign. She's licking her lips. See her licking her lips? That always means I'm surrendering. I'm giving up. She can't see me, but she can feel me and she can hear me. And she says, oh, he's tugging up. He's tugging on my rope again. He wants me to follow. I guess I will. I guess I'll go with him. Are you in the dark? I want to tell you, morning's coming. Morning's coming. And you're going to be able to see just right. Hey, Ben, would you and Caroline come down and help Paul a minute? I want to introduce my grandson, Ben, and my granddaughter, Caroline, to you. Will it, you coming, baby? Okay. You're on the way. Okay. Oh, there she comes. Okay, you wait right there on the outside now. You wait right there. Okay. Ben, why don't you take this mare and lead her around this pen? Give her a little stop. Turn left. All the way around. Now turn right, turn into her. Oh, you mean she does the same thing for you she does for me? Caroline, can you come help Paul? Okay, well, come in here. Are you coming? Okay. Is the wind blowing your hat off? You okay? Okay, come here. Take the rope. Take right here. Now you lead her. Put her on this side. Here, let's put her on this side. Put her on this side. Hold her up right there. Okay, take her. Take her around the pen. Oh. Take her. Bring her to Paul. Oh, there goes the hat. That's okay. You put it back on. Now, can you bring Patty to me? Tell her to pick her head up. Okay, bring her on. She'll come. Bring her. Atta girl. Come right here to Paul. I want you to make note of something. Bring her here. Say, come on, Patty. Okay, here's the thing I want you to catch. Thank you, darling. You did so good. I appreciate it. So here's the lesson. Come here, Ben. Come here, Ben. Lead her up here with me. Lead her up here with me. Here's the lesson. I don't teach a horse to follow me. Pop her with you. Pop her. Bad boy. Bad boy. I don't teach a horse to follow me. I'm teaching a horse to follow the rope. It don't make any difference who's holding the end of it. Thank you, bud. Thank you. You can go. So the idea is, now listen up, those of you that are high school graduates with me, Barbara and Danny, who else is here? Betty. Listen to this. The older I get, the younger my leaders get. And there's times in my life when somebody as young as Ben may have my rope. My job is to follow the rope, not the man. I follow the rope regardless of who's holding it. It doesn't matter their age. My dad was in the hospital a couple of months ago. And every person that waited on him, that helped him, every doctor and every nurse, most of them were a quarter of his age. All of them were much younger than me. But the older I get, the younger the person holding the rope is going to be. And if I'm going to stay submitted to God, I have to keep following the rope, regardless of the age of the one holding it. So for us as Christians, our leaders may get younger and younger as we get older and older. But if we want to leave a heritage that says we're going to follow Christ no matter what, then we have to be willing to say, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be fit to be tied. But what God wants to know is, are you fit to be untied? Would you still do the same things? Would you still go with him if he takes the rope off and says, I want to see if you'll follow me? I want to know, will you still go with me when other people stop going, when other people abandon me? Would you keep following me? Or does he have to keep you tied so that you'll follow him? Would you back up? Would you turn and give him his space? And when he asks you to step up, would you just keep going with him? I came to ask somebody today, are you fit to be tied? Because until you are, you're not fit for the ride. We all want to go do these great things for God. And we all want to be used dynamically by him. But are you willing not to? Are you willing just to be submitted and follow Christ, whatever it looks like? Jesus said, go to the next city and you'll find a colt tied. Loose him and bring him to me. And if anybody says, why are you doing that? Why are you untying that colt? You say to them, because the Lord has need of him. There's somebody here today that the Lord has need of. And he's here asking you, are you fit to be tied? Pretty, bring me a smoothie. Patty says, okay, my part's over. Isn't she a nice mare? I got one more thing to talk to you about. How about this lovely assistant I've got? That's my baby girl, in case anybody's wondering why I kissed the handler. So I want to introduce you to Smoothie. Now Smoothie, he's my horse. He'll be my horse as long as I have horses. And it's not because he's beautiful, and he is that. And he'll do all the same stuff that Patty will do, just not as good. So he's a C student. See what I mean? Patty's an A student. I mean, she is absolutely the bomb. But here today, not because he's perfect. In fact, he's far from it. But he's the smoothest horse I've ever rode. And when I met Smoothie the first time, he was in a good-sized pasture with, I don't know how many, but I'll say 25 other yearlings. He was just a yearling when I met him. And out of all those yearlings, nobody else came up and introduced themselves to me except Smoothie. He was unbroke. He had had a halter on, but he wasn't halter broke. And he came up and introduced himself. Does anybody know how a horse introduces himself? They smell you. They smell your breath. Horses greet each other by touching noses. Well, that's the same way they want to talk to you. That's how they introduce themselves. And my wife had a video camera running at the time. And Smoothie came right up to me and introduced himself to me. Nothing on him. He just wanted to meet me. The Bible says, if you draw near unto me, I will draw near unto you. Smoothie's not here today because he's the sharpest knife in the drawer. He's here today because he picked me. That's why he's here. He chose me, so I choose him. He comes with me because he may not be the best student I've ever had, but he is without a doubt. He's the smoothest quarter horse I've ever ridden. I could ride him on this trot literally all day. He's just so, those of you that know horses, you're looking at the top of my hat and it's barely moving. And I'm not posting, I'm sitting in the saddle. This horse is extremely smooth. And he's got a lot of sense and he's got some natural talent, but he's a BC student. But here's the good news. God don't just choose the A students. You can be a C student. The world is largely ran by C students. Look who we elected. No, I'm sorry. The world is largely ran by C students. You don't have to be, an engineer with a 4.0. God still picks you. If you'll choose him, I promise you today, God will choose you. I invite Smoothie on the journey. He's already made one journey out west with me. Last summer we took these colts and did this presentation in several western states. And Smoothie went along, again, not because he's the A student, but because he picked me. And because he did, he's my friend, he's my buddy, he comes to me, but he still understands my space, his space. He still understands that I'm gonna move his feet, he's not moving mine. He still understands that when I tie him somewhere, that's where he's going to stay tied. If it's 3 hours later that I come back and get him. If I park him somewhere, he understands I'm supposed to stay parked right here. Unless Jim says move. I'm asking somebody today, what's your rope look like? Is your rope stretched tight? Are you fighting what Jesus wants to do for you? Or would you stand parked like Smoothie? The idea is that if your rope is stretched tight like this, he's never going to take you anywhere. If you're fighting this rope, you're as far as you're going. Those other colts in the pasture where he was, they didn't get invited. They didn't come up to me. They didn't choose me. They didn't pick me out. I want to encourage you today to choose God. Choose him. Here's how Smoothie speaks to you. Here's how a horse introduces himself. They breathe in your scent and they never forget it. What's your rope look like today? Smoothie wants to know, what's next, boss? What's next? What's your rope look like? I want you to start thinking about it. What's your rope look like? Because if Smoothie can go, you can go. You can do whatever God calls you to do if you'll just stop fighting the rope and trust him. See him following me around. He does the same thing in the pasture. Because he knows I'm God. So see, he'll move the same way Patty will. You see, I'm not mad at him because I'm pushing him in circles. You might think God's mad at you just because your life is going in circles. Because you're going in circles doesn't mean God's mad at you. He may be trying to get something through to you that he needs to see in you. Here's your rope. What's it look like? Is it pulled tight? Or have you stepped out? I always knew when I was breaking a colt, and there were times when I had 7 to 10 colts at my facility. And they're at different stages in their development. You know, they some of them were riding out, some of them were just getting started, some were in their second, third saddling, some of them were being driven, some of them were just having legs tied up, and they were just learning to follow. They were tied at different stages. I don't know where you are today, but wherever you are, Jesus said you'll find a colt tied, loose him, and bring him to me. I have a question for you today. How is God going to loose you if you're not tied? Well, I don't want to be tied. I don't want to be tied down. Well, then how are they going to know you're the one they're coming to get? Jesus said you'll find a colt tied. So if that colt was running the street free and wild, did that colt qualify to be the one brought Jesus in? It can't be. Because Jesus said the one I want is the one that's tied. What's your rope look like today? I want to invite you to stand with me. I want to ask you to make some decisions today. Smoothie is here to ask you, could you do as good as me? Could you at least follow God as much as I'll follow Jim? I mean, look at him. We're not tied up to each other. He's free to go do what he wants to. But look where he is. What's your rope look like today? Is it stretched tight? I don't know who I've been talking to today. I don't know who's fighting their rope and whose rope is slack. I don't have the privilege of knowing your personal lives. I only know a few of you personally. He's a clown, I'm telling you. I only know a few of you personally, but I'm telling you this, I know this much. If your rope is tight, if your rope and where you're tied is like this, get comfortable because you're going to be there a while. Because God's not coming looking for that. He's looking for this. He's looking for the one that stepped up and said, okay, I may be tied up, but I'm not going to fight the rope. I may be tied up, but I'm not going to fight it. So regardless of who it is that's fighting the rope today, we're going to make a makeshift altar here at the front of this round pen. And I want to invite you to take a step out. If that's you. If I've been preaching to you today, and your rope is stretched tight, why don't you take a step out? I'm going to count to three. At three, we're going to close that altar call. But if I've been talking to you today, and your rope is tight, would you come? Come on. You know, you may already be saved. I'm not asking you if you're saved or not. That's not the question. Thank you, ladies, for coming. The question is not do you know Jesus, although you'd be welcome as well. What's your rope look like? That's what I'm asking. Is it stretched tight? You're fighting the rope? You're fighting God's plan? You're fighting His schedule? If so, two. I'm going to stop it at three. Well, I just appreciate these that are coming. Come on. Come on. What a great day. I mean, what a great day to follow Christ. What a great day to stop fighting your rope, huh? We're still coming. People are still moving. What's your rope look like? 2.5. We're going to stop at 3. 2.5. I'll give you another couple seconds here. Is this your rope today? Is it tight like this? Jesus wants to help you. He wants to get slack. He's looking for slack in the rope. He's looking for two eyes, not just your one eye of attention. 2.75, how's that?